Hey there, this is Molly Christensen with episode number 2 of Building Heroes in My Home podcast. Today is March 14th, 2019. And in this podcast, you're going to hear about how I and others successfully built heroes in our homeschools so you can get ideas and do it in yours too. So today, I wanted to talk about how do you build heroes in your home? Now, in the last podcast, I told you about how I had been homeschooling my little six-year-old in first grade is when I started, and we were doing it for about 7 hours a day, trying to get through all the subjects and having massive power struggles, right? And then I got that idea to put the read aloud first before I made him do all those other things to check him off the list. Now, I wanted to have a better relationship with him because it just wasn't working. We were just banging heads because I was trying to make him do stuff and he didn't want to. And I just didn't want that frustration anymore. I didn't want that power struggle that just came from me thinking I had to make him do all this stuff, right? But I was still worried, you know, by putting my read aloud first, what if he didn't get all the rest of the stuff? What if he wasn't learning everything he was supposed to be learning? You know, could I really let all that other stuff go? Well, I knew something had to change because we were both on the path to, or like, you know, really the fast track to burnout, right? We couldn't keep that up much longer. It was terrible. And so I tried that change where I put the read aloud first because I had to act on faith that that was going to help. And it did. It helped the relationship a lot because part of it was we just were able to connect over the book too. And we both enjoyed it. Okay. But I still did not have a lot of confidence in what I was doing with him. I still had no idea what I was doing. You know, it is kind of interesting when we start homeschooling, it's scary because we really don't have much of a precedent. And in fact, looking back, one of the reasons why I did not want to homeschool is because I told you too in the last podcast, my parents had homeschooled my younger brother and sister when I was in high school. And it did not go that well in that they were always trying to make them, my parents were trying to make my younger brother and sister do stuff too. And when they didn't do it right, you know, they'd get in trouble and all this stuff. And I didn't want that, but still, I didn't know a better way. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And that might've been part of the problem because I was thinking there was something I was supposed to do. So I kept seeking, I kept looking for new and different ways, but I didn't really know what I didn't know. But this time I feel like I was a little bit more open because I was asking different questions. I was asking myself things like, what else do I need to know? Or what else is there to homeschooling that I'm not getting? And is it more than just getting through the curriculum? Is there something I'm missing here? So around this time, or maybe a little earlier too, I first heard about Thomas Jefferson Education. I heard a speaker. It was Oliver DeMille, and I didn't really understand most of what he was talking about because I think my brain was just like, whoa. And a lot of what he said, I was just like, I don't know if that's going to work. But what I did get out of that was that I should start reading classics. And really, my only experience with classics was in my AP English class. Now, I love to read, so that was good. But I didn't really enjoy the idea of reading classics because the ones we were reading in AP English were not all that thrilling. So I was kind of like, okay. So I did the next best thing. I didn't start reading adult classics. I started reading children's classics. I'm reading picture books and young adult classics, right? So I figured I could do that. And I decided to try it. So it was fun because they were really good stories and I included them in our read aloud. And as we kept doing that and we connected with them, which was fun, but I didn't really understand why I was doing this. I just did it because I felt like I was supposed to. So after a couple of years of this, I started noticing something that was really interesting. I began to notice these books all seem to have patterns in them. They were teaching me some of the same things over and over again. And a lot of times they were teaching me great truths and principles about life But if I was paying attention, I could be like, oh, that makes sense. Maybe I should use that idea, right? So I started to find more answers, but I was still struggling and I was still a total mess. Like the house is always messy. My discipline and routine, just chaotic, you know, it was hard. I was trying to get everything done and I just couldn't do it. And I just was really, really struggling still. But I felt like I could keep going because I'd keep finding little things along the way that would help me see that I was on the right path. So one pattern that I found was the hero's journey. Now, the hero's journey is a pattern that's prevalent in so many stories and movies, which are stories too, and books, and just from ancient times on. And the hero's journey, it was a very interesting pattern to me when I first learned it. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. But I didn't really understand the significance of it for a while. So basically what the hero's journey is where you have an ordinary person gets a call to action to do something that's bigger than himself. And he doesn't want to because it's uncomfortable. So he refuses and says, nah, I'm not going to do that. But then something makes him change his mind and he decides, I've got to do it. I have to do it. This is bigger than me. I've just got to do it. So he commits to his action and he does it. And that's when he gets on the path of the hero's journey because he's decided to take that action on this hard thing. And along the way, he meets a mentor who is somebody who's been there, done that, and helps him along the way and guides him. And he's there to encourage him, but he's not always there with him. And he may find more than one mentor as well. And along the way on this journey, he also is going to hit tests and traps and trials, things that are going to be hard, that are going to stop him from moving on that journey. And if he lets those tests and traps and trials stop him, he gets stuck. And if he stays stuck too long, he's going to be off the path of the journey. So if he's going to be a real hero, he's going to have to figure out how to get through those things and keep on moving. Along the journey, he also finds friends, allies, people who are going to be there to help him get through these tests and traps and keep moving forward. But he's also going to find some enemies, which are people who maybe don't understand what he's trying to do, or just people who just really want to stop him from achieving this journey to go to the goal that he's seeking. And then eventually, just kind of summarize this quickly, I could talk about this for a long, long time, but eventually he ends up having a final huge trial that just doesn't seem like he's ever going to get through. But he does, and he achieves the goal, and it feels so good. But even greater than the goal is that he has changed. He's become better than who he used to be. Okay. And that's the hero's journey. Now, if you start looking for that pattern, you'll see it everywhere. And like one of my favorite examples is The Hobbit, where Bilbo Baggins is just an ordinary hobbit. And one day he gets invited on this adventure with the dwarves, and Gandalf comes and invites him to go. He gets this call to action, but he doesn't want to. This is out of his comfort zone. He can't do that. You know, he'd rather stay home and eat soup, but he can do that. And he decides he better do that because he felt like it's really important and he needed to do it. So he joins the group and he gets on his hero's journey path. Now, throughout the rest of the book or movie, he does hit a lot of tests, traps, and trials. He does have his mentor in Gandalf. He does find friends and allies and enemies as well. And he does achieve his objective at the end. But more importantly, he becomes somebody greater. He becomes somebody who knows more about his power and what he is capable of achieving. So it's a pretty awesome pattern. And what I didn't realize at first, that Really, it was a pattern for my own life. It's a pattern for the life of each one of us, which is so cool. And so it really changed how I looked at my life and how I looked at the life of my kids. Because what the pattern does is it makes our lives predictable. It makes our lives predictable in the sense that we know what's going to come next. If we're trying to do something uncomfortable, trying to become better, trying to grow, we're going to hit tests and traps and trials. But there's also going to be people out there to help us. And there's also going to be people out there who don't want us to succeed. So we can ignore them because we know they're just there on the path. Now, in the story of The Hobbit, if Bilbo really had just stayed home and eaten soup, that would be a horrible story. Nobody would want to read that. That's not a great life to live. You know, so when I learned this, it really changed how I could look at my kids and I could allow them to go through these struggles on their journey because it's their journey, not mine. But I also know it's coming up, so I can encourage them and I could help them. I could guide them. So I learned that, and it was really, really helpful in realizing I just need to build heroes in my home. I need to support that journey. That's what I need to be doing. But still, I struggled from the day to day. You know, I had this bigger, grand vision that I love, but then day to day, it's still a massive struggle where I'm just still, you know, getting on my kids for doing something stupid or you know, and or having a messy house or whatever. And I had a hard time just even incorporating homeschooling, like teaching them with homeschool, you know, from on every day. I had so much curriculum. I felt like I had to use it all, but then I would get overwhelmed and not use any and not do anything. And there were times when I did a ton of stuff with them and probably overwhelmed them. And then other times when I didn't do any. So I'm like, where is the balance? What, you know, what do we do here? Now, when my oldest daughter was about 12, I really felt like I needed to start a co-op just for her because I knew that she really needed just like a solid structured place to help her with friends, but also just have accountability and really good teachers. And so I jumped right in. I started a co-op for teenagers. I wanted them to have this leadership experience too, where they could go in there and just get, what's the word? Not flooded, maybe flooded. I don't know, surrounded with the ideas of their own greatness and who they were meant to become, and that they were meant to become leaders who were confident and could help others, but they would have to lead the way first. I wanted that for them. And so somehow we got that created. The right people showed up and it was awesome, and it's still going today, and I've got younger kids going, so that was awesome. But about 5 years ago, I was like, you know, why don't my younger kids get more of the structure where I'm surrounding them with greatness and these ideas that they are heroes on a hero journey? Why don't we do that? And I thought, well, I kind of do it in my homeschool, but it's not really as good as I'd like it to be. So I looked around to see if I could find any curriculum or programs or anything like that for them. I could not find anything. And I kind of sat on that idea for a little while, but then one day I mentioned this idea to a friend. I'm like, why don't we have this for our younger kids? And she just said to me, I don't know. Why don't we? Why don't you do it? And of course, that was my call to action. And then I got all the refusals. And I said, are you kidding me? This is in my brain. I'm like, I don't have time for that. Why would I want to do that? I don't even know how to do that. And then I got this other idea pop in my head that says, but you don't have to do it all alone. Other people will help you. Because other people want this too. So I said, no way. I refused it. But then I said, yeah, I've got to do it. And so that's how I ended up creating Building Heroes Academy. And I started the path of the hero's journey. And I have hit lots of tests and trials and temptations, but along the way, I've had many amazing friends and allies help me along the path. So because of that, I have created this system where I could, in just an hour a day, teach my children all about these principles of being a hero, of becoming the person that they're meant to become. But because I also still want to make sure I'm covering all the basics, we do it through the format of teaching knowledge. And so I just took all the basic topics that they would learn in school, but then I changed it up so that all of this knowledge could be interconnected and connected to them, that they would be surrounded with these ideas of greatness, that they could connect these ideas to greatness. So we can take any topic like science, if we're learning about insects, we could still connect those ideas back to them by just asking them how they relate and how they connect to other things, and to teach them how to think and how to think well, not just logically, but also think truth that makes them feel happy and good about themselves. So that's how I ended up creating Building Heroes Academy, which we call it a curriculum, but it's really just a teaching system. And it was also one that I could actually do because it only takes an hour a day for all the kids. And then after that, the kids may still need to practice some skills, but if they're ready and they're willing, then they can practice those skills mostly on their own. And I don't have to make them do it because they're ready and they're willing. And they're willing because they know who they are. They know that they were born for greater things. And so they end up willing. Now, that sounds like the kids are perfect. They're not always, and they're not always willing. It changes sometimes from day to day. But for the most part, they're ready and they're willing. And so they'll learn those skills that they need to. I just read a quote right before I got on this podcast that said, scientists have discovered that kids can learn things with about 400 repetitions, but if play is involved, it only takes 10 to 20 times before they learn a concept. And so that's something that we did in the curriculum, which was, instead of trying to be very repetitive, because that's one way to learn things, we try to make it so it's really fun. And when it's fun, then it's interesting and it gets learned a lot faster, and you can cut to the chase and you don't have to keep repeating because it's fun. They love it and it's enjoyable. Anyway, that's just kind of the start of the story of how I got to this place where I wanted to build heroes in my home. And that's how you do it, is basically you start off by realizing that your kids are on a hero's journey, and that when you know that pattern, you can support them on it and you don't have to be making them do anything. We just got to create the environment where they can learn and let them go and take off, really. So I think that's about it for today. And I will continue with my stories when I do the next episode. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.